Ready to turn to the word of the Lord this morning? Yeah. The Holy Spirit leads his church. We're continuing, we're looking in the book of Acts, the history of the early church and what God was doing as he established his church and what his pattern is for the church, how he works, how he worked then, and how he continues to work today. God doesn't change his pattern with what he with his church. And so we've been looking at how the Holy Spirit was working to make the church the church. They had no other church group they could look at and learn from. They couldn't look down the road at the first church and say, oh, this is how church is, so this is how we should do church also. What they had was they had themselves. They had come to believe in Jesus through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of Peter. They were convicted by the Holy Spirit because that's what he does. And as the Holy Spirit convicted them, he then gave them away and made them, gave them a way that their conviction and their guilt might be dealt with, that they might come into relationship with God and enjoy relationship with God and peace with God. So this morning, if you are here and you are living with a feeling or a sense of condemnation or conviction or guilt about things in your life or about things that are going on, what you need to know is the Holy Spirit works, but he never wants you to stay there. The Holy Spirit always gives a pathway. The Holy Spirit always gives a way to get things right in relationship with the Father so that you and I may live at peace with God and at peace with our brothers and our sisters as well. He is called the Prince of Peace, Jesus, when he came. And that's what he wants to do. So if you're living with condemnation this morning, if you're living with guilt or conviction this morning, don't stay there. Don't stay there. Listen to the leading and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we're looking at this early church as the Holy Spirit was working in their lives. This has been one of our theme verses from Acts 2:42. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That was before the New Testament was written. We've talked about this before, right? And so they were listening to what the apostles were teaching them about what Jesus had said while he was ministering for those 3.5 years. And so they were learning from the apostles to fellowship. So they were connected with other Christians and they were growing in their Christian lives and in their Christian faith. They were being encouraged by others who were like them to the breaking of bread, which includes both the Lord's Supper, communion, and also food together, to sharing meals together, and to prayer. These are the things that the Holy Spirit was working in them. So that's what the Holy Spirit said. This is important. This is how I want you to grow. So, and this is how you will grow. So we've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit, at the various things that the Holy Spirit was doing in the church. The church is the church of Jesus, but I'm going to say his church also when we talk about the Holy Spirit, because Jesus gave the care of the church for whom he died and shed his blood and was raised to life again that you and I might have life. That church that the Bible says we are his bride, he took that church and he put that church, he put you and me in the hands, in the care, in the protection, in the direction of the Holy Spirit. So this is why we're looking so much at, here's what's happening in the book of Acts. We are in the hands of the Holy Spirit. We're still in his hands. He's still working. He's still doing things. And when we see what the Holy Spirit wants to do and is doing, it should encourage you and me. It should give you confidence. It should make you feel safe. Even though Lighthouse is an imperfect church, you won't find a perfect church anywhere. We strive and we do our best to be a church of the Holy Spirit, right? Where He works, where He's leading, where He equips us, where He feeds us. And when we're together in that way, we can trust ourselves in the hands of the Holy Spirit as He's working. Then last week, as we got near the end of the message, we looked at this really dramatic episode, the end of chapter 4, beginning of chapter 5. We looked at we looked at Barnabas, and then we looked at Ananias and Sapphira. So let's go back and talk about Barnabas, whose name was Joseph, okay? Let's look at this. So the Holy Spirit's working, and He's working in people's hearts and lives, right? So He's working. So what happens here is not someone's good idea. It's not, oh, I'm going to do this to help the church. What we see is a man who is full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit moves him to do something, okay? So he's in the church. He's part of the church. At this point, he's not a leader in any way, at all. He's not a leader. He's just a member of the church. And we read in Acts 4, 36 and 37, as the Holy Spirit is working, for instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles named Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Bar means son of, okay? If you are reading in Greek, so bar, whatever. Bar, Nabas would have been his name. So son of encouragement from the tribe of Levi. He sold a field he owned and he brought the money to the apostles. I want us to think about Joseph named Barnabas this morning, because what we see here is a picture of a Holy Spirit person, of someone who's really just full of the Holy Spirit. And we see someone who's actually working as the Holy Spirit would work, right? Look with me at this just a minute. So they've called him Barnabas. They see in him something that they completely change his name. Your character is so encouraging, the way you're living among the other Christians builds people up in such a way, we're going to rename you. We want to call you Barnabas. And that became his name. And that's what he was known as for the rest of his life. So I want us to think about Barnabas just a minute. And we are going to move on to the Holy Spirit leading his church. But here's one of the ways the Holy Spirit's working. So he's called Barnabas, son of encouragement. Now, I don't think we have any Greek scholars here, but some of us study our Greek New Testaments and we look up things. So, son of it, this word encouragement, or Nabas, Barnabas, son of encouragement, is a special word and a special name. And it comes from the Greek word. It means, the Greek word is paraklesis, okay? So some of you are saying, huh? Okay, stay with me. The Holy Spirit's name in Greek is what?
Paraclete.
Thank you, Stephen. Okay, there you go. That's right, paraclete. So you've got a Barnabas, son of encouragement, paraklesis. You've got the Holy Spirit, paraclete. It's the same root word. So what we see is someone in the church, the Holy Spirit is working in him, and the Holy Spirit is making him like himself. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Or you can say he's making him like Jesus, right? And so we see this picture of Barnabas. Remember what Jesus called the Holy Spirit. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate. That's the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside to help, to encourage, to work on your behalf. If we go back and look at John 14, 15, 16, the Holy Spirit is given two names in John 14, 15, 16. Very, very simple. In English, two names. What are those two names? One of the names, or I should say names or titles. Let me say title, okay? Title and name. One of them is the Spirit of Truth, okay? And Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, three times. That should encourage you and me in this world, because there's so much around us that is not true, right? The devil is always trying to lie to us. He is always trying to get you to believe something about yourself and something about God that is not, and something about others that is not true. And that's why you and I need the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, because he is the Spirit of truth. Jesus calls him that three times. What's his other title and what's his other name? The Helper. The Helper. Same root word as Barnabas. Paraclete, paraclesis. Same root meaning, same word. Four times. So Spirit of Truth, three times. Helper, four times. So this is the Holy Spirit at work in the church. And we see in Barnabas a man who's full of the Holy Spirit. And because he's full of the Holy Spirit, he is an encourager. He is one who's building up others. He's one who's supporting others. I want you to look at a couple of other verses this morning. I want us to look at a couple of other verses a little bit later. We're going to get back to the early church in just a minute, but look with me at 1 Thessalonians 5:11. When Paul is writing to the church, look at what he says. Same word, the son of encouragement, same word. Ready? What does it say? So encourage one another. Encourage, paraclesis, okay? Encourage one another and build each other up as you're already doing. Here's one of the things that Paul tells the church to do. By the way, this church, the church at the Thessalonian church, was a church that was going through really severe persecution. They had come to believe in Jesus, and as they believed in Jesus, there was severe persecution against them. And Paul says to these people who are going through persecution, encourage one another. Keep on encouraging one another. Don't stop. And keep on building one another up. And as you read the Bible, you'll often see the word encouragement and building together. It's very, very commonly found in the New Testament. So 1 Thessalonians 5:11. There's a lot more than that, but I'm just looking at a couple. And then let's go back to Acts again. Look at what we read in Acts 9:31. So this is after the church continues to grow. By this time, Paul has come to believe in God. And we read in verse 31, so the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, being built up. Okay, there we have that expression again, right? Being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And it continued to increase. Again, same name as Barnabas right here. Exactly the same name. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit. What does he do? The Holy Spirit encourages the church. One of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life today is to encourage you, is to build you up. If you are struggling with discouragement this morning, it may be about something in your life. It may be about something that you're struggling with and you have not been able to overcome. It may be something that's going on around you. You've been going through something for a while and you don't see the end yet. Listen, not just to me, listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. He desires to encourage you this morning. He desires to encourage you. He is the Spirit of truth and he's the voice of truth to you this morning. So I want you to hear his words this morning saying to you, you are loved by God. You are accepted in God. I have a plan for you. This struggle will not go on forever. I will take you through and I will deliver you. This sickness that you face, I will heal you. This brokenness in your life, I will put it together again. I am the Lord your God, and I fight for you. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit to you this morning. Amen? Amen? And what should encourage you even more. It's not just, oh, Holy Spirit up in heaven, God up in heaven. The picture of the Holy Spirit, the helper, is this, very specifically in the language of the Greek. It is someone, Tobias, I need you here just a minute. Come up, please. I put him on the spot. Got to make sure he's awake. Okay. Right here. Tobias doesn't even know what I'm going to do. That's okay. So here's Tobias. Yep, there he is, right there. And Tobias is struggling with something. Yeah, that's okay. Actually, that's a good way to do it. Tobias is weak in some area. Tobias has needs in some area. Here's the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Good. That's good. That's good. Excellent. Here's the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit doesn't just say, Tobias, don't worry, I've got your back, brother. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. In the language of the Greek, what the Holy Spirit does and what his name means is he is someone who is called alongside, someone who is called near to help. To help. So you're not on your own. It's not God up off in heaven somewhere. It is God. Am I scaring you?
No.
All right. Okay. Good. But it's God. It is God with you. He is God with you. It is God. He comes alongside to help. That's the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen? Thank you. A plus, Tobias. Thank you. Yay. A hand for Tobias. A hand for Tobias. Who didn't see that coming. Okay. That's the Holy Spirit on your behalf, right? Right. And so I want you just, you know, I'd like this to be as interactive as possible as we're thinking, as we're going through this morning, that the Holy Spirit is near, one who is called alongside to help. So Holy Spirit, I need your help. And he comes alongside. Amen? Amen. Be encouraged. Look at one other thing in this verse as well that should, it makes us think a little bit because we don't like this thought very much. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. Walking just means their daily life as Christians, right? When we walk, when it talks about walking in the New Testament, unless they're physically walking down the road, walking has to do with just the way they were living their daily lives, okay? They were walking in the fear of the Lord, which we don't think about very much. But we read it quite often in the New Testament. There was, after Ananias and Sapphira both fell dead, there was great fear in the church when people heard about it. There is a healthy awe and reverence towards God in his holiness and who he is. He loves us, he is with us, he is near us. We walk in the fear of the Lord. He is our God. He's a holy God. And he calls us to be holy as well. He's a righteous God. And he calls us to be righteous as well. And you and I think, well, I can't do that and I can't be that. And that's one of the reasons. He has given us his Holy Spirit to live in us, to make us holy and to make us righteous through Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 So, we ended with Ananias and Sapphira last week, but I want to move on from there. This really dramatic interaction between this husband and wife who thought they were deceiving people, right? They sold the land. They kept part of it. They gave part of it to the church. It was kind of a good thing because the church got the people in need got part of the money. They didn't get all of the money, but there was deception in it. And we stopped with that. So he brought it to Peter. And then Peter says, I don't want this to turn you off. Okay. I want you to be encouraged by this. And let me tell you why. Peter says to him, Ananias, what does he say? He said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Do you know why this should encourage you this morning? This should encourage you because it lets you and me know that the Holy Spirit really cares about his church. Yeah? He really cares about the church. He cares about relationships with one another. He cares about our honesty. He cares how we treat one another. He cares how we support one another. It's His church, and He keeps us safe, and He works to keep us holy. We should be encouraged by that. Although, as I have said, Lighthouse is not a perfect church, but we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit that He keeps working in us. Amen? At the end of this, so Ananias falls over dead. Sapphira falls over dead. Some of you are really scared. Some of you may be thinking, let me put it this way. This was a time when the church was walking in such purity and holiness and such a manifest presence and work of the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, there were signs and wonders and miracles taking place and such open hearts. And in the middle of that, Ananias and Sapphira didn't just make a mistake, right? What did they do? They deliberately hatched a plan to deceive, And God dealt with it really harshly. That should encourage you that Christ loves the church and the Holy Spirit takes care of the church. Amen. We looked at this passage last week. Christ loved the church. He gave up His life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church without a spot or a wrinkle. She will be holy and without fault. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Before we move on, I want to ask a question. I don't know which the most recent marriages are in this church. I think maybe Sharon and Daigle. Wait, how many years have you been married? Eleanor Gake, how many years have you been married? Priscilla, tell me, how long have you been married? 4 years. Okay, Priscilla, tell me. Okay, they get it. Okay, so those of you brides, when you married, okay, you bought your wedding dress, ho lang a lang loi, hamai, ho lang loi. You got all dressed up. You had shoes that matched your dress. You had jewelry. You had makeup. Your hair was fixed. You were beautiful. You're still beautiful, but you were especially beautiful on your wedding day, right? I have a question. Who paid for the wedding dress? Sharon?
I rented mine.
Okay. That came from your pocket, right?
Yes.
Okay, it came from her pocket. Priscilla? Did you pay for your wedding clothes? 你自己付钱的吗? Oh, good example. Eleanor? She says, I think I paid it. Okay. Now, why am I asking this and why are we looking at this as an example? This is a New Testament verse that talks about Christ and His church. So the Holy Spirit's working. In the New Testament culture, in the culture of that time, guess who paid for the wedding dress? The groom.
Yes.
So it would have been Daigle, Zhao Ming, and Gake. Okay. Who times have changed, right? The beautiful shoes, the makeup, all of these things. The dowry that would be given, the money that would be given to the family by the groom, all of those things were, almost all of them, were given so that the bride would be beautiful and prepared for her marriage with the groom. The groom provided that. The groom took care of that. That was the groom's responsibility. Okay. Sister Ampi, who was married quite a long time ago, says, yes. Here's the beautiful picture for you and me and the Holy Spirit. Ready? All that you and I need in our relationship with Jesus. The holiness that he calls us to, the right living, the things that make us beautiful in God's eyes. This is the responsibility, and this is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the righteousness of Christ that the Holy Spirit works in us. You and I can try our best, but it will never be good enough for God. But Christ gives us his righteousness. The Holy Spirit works it in us. And that should encourage us this morning when we think about how the Holy Spirit works in his church. Because you and I sometimes feel, I'm so bad. I've blown it so terribly. I'm just not good enough for God. And Jesus says, but here, I give you all that you need to be holy and righteous in God's eyes. Amen? Amen. You should be encouraged by that. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, in the time that we have left, let's switch gears a little bit now. This gives us a picture of how much the Holy Spirit works in the church, how much he loves you, how much he loves me, and not just loves, but is really actively working in your life and in my life, and in the church as well. Amen? In the church. So I want to talk for just a little while as we, in the time that we have left, about the how the Holy Spirit leads us, how he leads the church and how he leads us individually, because we really see a beautiful picture of this in the book of Acts as the Holy Spirit is working with the church. I was talking with some people last week after the service, and they were trying to decide, should I do this or should I do that? And it was, you're trying to kind of figure out, what should I do? And all of us have decisions that we have to make, and we don't, and a few weeks ago as well. Well, is this okay or is that not okay? And the encouragement you and I should have when we look at the book of Acts is that the Holy Spirit is interested in and is invested in helping you make good decisions in your life. He is invested in leading you. He is invested in keeping you from going the wrong way. He wants you on the right path. And we see this again and again and again throughout the book of Acts as he's leading the church. So let's look at a few things. And let's start with this really unusual thing that happens in Acts chapter 1. Okay? This is before the Holy Spirit is poured out. It's before the day of Pentecost. And look with me very quickly. They're meeting. They're praying. And Judas has already committed suicide. And they're having a business meeting as they're praying. These are the words of Peter as he's speaking. And Peter says, okay, we got to find somebody else to take the place of Judas, right? So Judas has killed himself. There have to be 12 people. We've got to find somebody to take his place. It has to be somebody who knew Jesus from the very beginning, throughout his ministry, so that he can be a witness. Okay, how do they decide who is going to join them as one of the 12? So look at what it says. So they nominated two men. So two men qualify, Justus and Matthias. Okay? So they have these two. And then what happens next? It sounds really good. Then they all prayed, and they prayed to God, and they said, you know every heart, show us which of these men you have chosen. We don't know, God, who have you chosen? So look with me at this very unusual interaction at the very beginning of Acts. This should help us this morning as we think about how the Holy Spirit leads us. They discuss, they use their brains, and they come up with these two, Justus and Matthias, and then they pray. So far, so good, right? And they say, God, you show us which one we should choose. And then how do they decide? A little bit interesting. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. I should have brought dice this morning, right? And because that's kind of what they did. It's like, is it this one or is it this one? You know, like you're playing a game or something like that. Now, they were serious about it, but at that time, the best they could do was, God, you show us in this way. That's before the Holy Spirit, right? Kind of unusual, right? How many of you have ever thrown dice to decide what God wants you to do. Don't raise your hand. Okay? Don't do it. That's not a good way to choose what God wants you to do. Why? God has a better way for us now. And the way that God has for us is through the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and leads us and guides us in the right ways. Okay? So that's before the Holy Spirit comes. And then we move forward a little bit, quite some years, and let's look at how the Holy Spirit starts leading. We move forward and we come to Acts chapter 10. You already know this. You know the story of Cornelius, who is an Italian. He's an Italian army captain, the captain of 100. He's a mid-level career officer. Okay, that's what you would say. Mid-level, very influential, and obviously this man Cornelius is very well respected. He knows God, but he doesn't know Jesus. He's sincere, but his understanding is limited. He does all he knows to do, but it's not enough. He's doing what he knows to do. And the Lord sends the Holy Spirit to him? No. The Lord sends an angel to him one afternoon while he's praying. So the Lord sends an angel to him, not the Holy Spirit. Why? Holy Spirit doesn't yet live inside of him. And he says, you go to Joppa. There's a man called Peter. You send for him. He will tell you what you need to know. So an angel goes to Cornelius. But Peter, who is God's child and has the Holy Spirit living in him, has different direction. Look at this. Peter went up on the house to pray, housetop to pray at about noon, and then he became hungry. Perhaps Peter was fasting. We don't really know. Normally you'd get hungry at about noon, but perhaps he was fasting and he wanted to eat. So they're preparing food. He went into a visionary state. We know that he has this vision that he doesn't understand. Now, look with me, verse 19 and 20. What happens next? What happens next is the Holy Spirit speaks. Okay? And what does he say? Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, I have sent them. And here's the direction of the Holy Spirit. Do you think he heard a voice? How many of you would like to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit audibly? Yes? I sure would. May I tell you, yeah, me too. I've been a Christian a long, long time. If I told you how long I've been a Christian, it would be longer than most of you have been alive. That tells you my age. I have never in my life heard the audible voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Never. Nevertheless, I have heard the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. And he has led me and he has guided me. So here, that's probably what happens to Peter. Probably the Holy Spirit is impressing his heart. I was thinking about this, and this seems very unusual to us, and it seems almost impossible, kind of fantastical, right? Can I really believe this? Let me tell you another story. From a woman who, she's now in heaven. You've heard me speak before, and I think I've told this story a long time ago. Her name was Hattie Hammond. She was by the time I got to know her, she was already an elderly woman, very, very, very godly woman. She was an evangelist and served the Lord all her life, never married, and would travel around the world ministering. And she lived about 100 kilometers outside of Washington, D.C., in a city called Hagerstown. And she didn't drive. People would help her. And one morning, she woke up early, and she would always spend time with the Lord. She was praying. And one morning, she woke up, and she felt the Holy Spirit push her heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to her, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go to Washington, D.C. And so Sister Hattie argued with the Holy Spirit. And she said, but I don't need to go to Washington, D.C. She'd have to get a bus ticket. And there were some trains, but it would be by bus. And she said, I don't need to go to Washington, D.C. for anything. And she said the impression was so strong in her heart. Go get a bus ticket and go to Washington, D.C. Get a bus ticket and go to Washington, D.C. And by then she realized, this is the Holy Spirit, so I don't know why. I don't know why, but he wants me to go to Washington, D.C. So she got up, she got ready, went to the bus station, got a ticket, got on the bus. A little bit like Peter. Three men are waiting for you downstairs. Don't be afraid to go with them. Just go with them. Peter doesn't know what. Peter doesn't know why, but the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go. So Sister Hattie got up and she got on the bus. And she sat down right behind the driver and the bus went off for Washington, D.C., about 115 kilometers, something like that. So about 2 hours or so on the bus. And I don't remember if the man was already seated there or he got on the bus and he sat next to her. So Sister Hattie was sitting there, little old lady, white hair, elderly, and he was sitting next to her. And as he sat next to her, he looked at her and he said, out of the blue, can you tell me about Jesus? Out of the blue. True story. True story. Can you tell me about Jesus? And for the 2 hours on the bus ride, she told him about Jesus and she led him to the Lord. He was desperate. His marriage was breaking apart. His family was torn. He had nowhere else to turn except Jesus. And Sister Hattie told him about Jesus. She led him to the Lord. When he reached Washington, D.C., he got off and he went on his way. And Sister Hattie got the return ticket on the bus and just went right back to Hagerstown because she had nothing else that she needed to do in Washington, D.C. But the Holy Spirit was leading and was guiding because he had someone who would listen to him. And I want to encourage you this morning. The Holy Spirit will speak. He wants to speak. He wants to speak. When our ears are open to listen and to hear, the Holy Spirit will speak. There are things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. I believe that. I believe that. There are things that he wants you to do, and you may not understand it, but the Holy Spirit knows because he's leading his church, and he's leading his children. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And I want you also to know that the Holy Spirit has things that he wants to say to you about things that you don't know about and that you are concerned about, that you're trying to figure out this morning. Should I do this or should I do that? I don't know which way to turn. Guess what? The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. We'll get to it next week. Wait, let me just close with this. I want you to see, let's just look at this really quickly and we'll close with this, because some of you are kind of scared about making a wrong decision at times, right? Do you ever worry about making a wrong decision? The Holy Spirit is so, so good. He's so, so good to us. I just think, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I looked back in my life the other day. I was praying and I thought, oh Lord, thank you. You saved me from disaster so many times. I mean it, disaster. I have made some stupid decisions in my life. I really have. Things could have gone so badly wrong and the Holy Spirit kept me from it. Look at this. This is to encourage you. Here are these godly people, right? It's Paul. It's Silas. They're traveling. And look at this. They're trying to go here to preach the gospel. They're trying to go there to preach the gospel. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit says, no. And then they try to go here. And the Holy Spirit says, no. And look at that. This should encourage you also. It says, but again, the Spirit of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. Ah, so those of you that are a little bit nervous about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, right? This should give you comfort this morning when the Lord closes doors, when the Holy Spirit, he is working for you. He is working to lead you. He doesn't want you to go the wrong way. If you're determined to go your way, he'll let you go your way. But the working of the Holy Spirit is to keep you and to keep me in the right pathway, in the right pathway. And there's sometimes he will close doors. And then there are times when he opens doors. And they decide, oh, this must be the Holy Spirit. And then they go in another direction. So this morning, as we come to a close, I hope you've been encouraged in thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit in his church and in your life. If you have something very specific in your life that you are not sure about, or you're struggling with something, this is the time to say, oh, Holy Spirit. And he comes alongside to encourage you and to help you, to lead you and to guide you. He may close a door. And if he closes a door, we say, oh, okay, Lord, that door's closed. Then we try again, and maybe another door closes. But if you walk with God, he will open a door before you that is the right door, that is at the right time, that is in the right way. Because he is invested in you. He is, his life is for you. His heart is for you. His care is for you. His attention is on you because he's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus put you and me in his hands. And that's a good place to be. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Amen. If the Holy Spirit was speaking to you in one of these areas, I want you to talk to him this morning and ask him to talk to you, okay? He may talk to you right now as we're praying, or he may in the time ahead, or in this day ahead. He's the one who decides, and we give ourselves to him and we open our hearts to him, okay? And then he speaks to us. But you keep your ears open and you keep your heart open so that the Holy Spirit can speak to you, and then we'll follow him. Holy Spirit, this morning, we know that you are here because you have said you are here. We know that you are here because we sense your presence with us this morning as you have come alongside, close to us, to help. Lord, would you lead your people? Holy Spirit, would you speak specifically to each one here this morning who is seeking the right way to go, the decision to make, how to make it, when to make it, what to do, what to say, which pathway to go? God, this morning I pray specifically for some who are here related to their work, who are looking for work, or who things aren't working out. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open the door for them that is the right door. Open the door. Come alongside and help in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, the helper, you are the helper. I pray this morning for those that need you to come alongside them and to help them right now, to strengthen them, to lift them up, to repair what is broken, to lift what is heavy, to lighten what is dark. Holy Spirit, our helper, our paraclete, come alongside and help. Thank you for hearing us. We will give ear to you in the time ahead. We will give hearts open to you this week so that as you speak, we will hear you and we will listen. And Lord, we will walk in the way that you have for us. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we are in a good place in your hands and that you love us. And that you clothe us in righteousness and you give us all we need in making us right with God and accepted by God through Jesus Christ. We are so grateful. We're so grateful and we accept that. We thank you for the wedding clothes that you provide for us that make us beautiful in the eyes of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week in God.